CliffCentral.com.
No more bullshit.
No more bullshit. Good morning, everybody. All right, we are live, CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning in the beginning of the year. And Lebang is here, Mbulelo's here, I am here, and you are here. This is very good. This is the way we start our Tuesday mornings. And it feels normal. It feels good. It feels refreshing. This is right. So Lebang, I heard all about you and your tires and the kinds of dodgy places you've been on the East Rand to go and buy tires. And horrified. Is your car still working? I mean, are you still on tires or are you on bricks at this stage? What's the story?
No, I was not going to let the East Rand pull me down. I'm all good.
Okay, well, East Rand has a habit of pulling a lot of people down, so. I've been invited to a birthday dinner tomorrow, but it's in the extreme south of Joburg, so like it would mean I have to go into that deep, deep south. And I'm not even sure.
The only way that's worth it is if they're Portuguese, because Portuguese people know how to put a spread on.
It is Portuguese. It's a Portuguese.
Then, you know, obvious.
Very famous Portuguese restaurant that I'm invited to. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's probably worth an Uber, you know?
Yeah.
The only reason to go to the south is if the porras are feeding you. Okay. I know this. Lizito Land, if you're under 23, it's Lizito Land. Post that, you only go to the south for food. Otherwise, you're just looking for trouble as an adult there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to...
Does Lizito Land still exist?
Does Lizito... I think it does Lizito Land still exist. It does.
Well, I'm not 23. No. I don't know. I'm not 23 anymore.
I'll be sure not to get into any fights, though, that I'm fairly aware of.
Yeah, you're
important rule.
Because you'll lose. It's a guaranteed loss on your end.
So I'm going to ask the annoying question that everybody asks you at this time of year. First of all, they go, "So, did you have a nice break over the holiday season? And what did you get up to?" But I don't actually know what you got up to, Lebang, except that I saw a couple of pictures of you with the kids.
Oh, great. Stalking me? Lovely.
No, not stalking. You came up on my feed. I mean, I'll unfollow you if you want. But I'm kidding. But I saw you having a nice time with the kids in Mpumalanga. You spent some time with mom.
No, for sure.
Looks like it was nice.
It was. It was quite pleasant. It was like a nice little, you know, get away from reality. Fancy and pleasant. There were tough times, of which I don't want to go into because it'll take too long. But it was nice. It was really nice just, like, you know, being away. I actually left my kids there. I only came back with the big boy. So they still living in that side of the world, bonding with their parents. I am extremely bored because of that. It's just too quiet. I have nobody to, you know, look at and just smile all the time. I'm just stuck with my partner, which is fantastic as well. So it's going to be an interesting start today.
There's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I was going to say congratulations and palming the kids off on other people for a couple of days, because that's actually what most parents dream of, right? And I think isn't it back to school this week as well? So for some
tomorrow.
Yeah. So the very little ones, obviously, who you're talking about, they don't have to go to school yet. But for everyone else, it's back to school, which for a lot of parents is like they've been waiting for this. They don't want to admit it, but a lot of parents have been waiting for back to school since like Christmas Day. Oh, when will these children just give me a goddamn break so I can actually breathe? And then, of course, you said something else, which is interesting. It's like, it's just been you and your partner. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you want to have, you know, you want to have something in terms of like private time where you can actually be together. But too much of that. And you're like, oh, and now I need to get back to work. Yeah. Just because work's a great excuse to not have to spend every waking hour with them. Even if you love them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with admitting that, right?
I'm not, it's
I'm not saying
no, you're definitely right. Like,
this is not the most controversial thing you've ever heard, right?
No, no, of course not. It's really honest, if anything, because you love your partner, you obviously adore them, whatever the case. But you also need to make time for yourself and, you know, need to just get your chi on lock and your energy intact. If you, like, I don't think any human is able to spend every waking minute with another human and say, no, it's cool. It's cool all the time. There's times when it's not cool, you know? But yeah, it's been cool. Like I'm not mad at it. It's been fine.
Sure.
So yeah.
I got a very funny email from someone yesterday in Bulelo, and I wanted you to comment on this as well. Leban, listen to this. Here's a movie concept from Carrie. She says, imagine an animated show where the main character, Bulelo, is stuck in his grinchy way of life, although he thinks it's the best. And one day, an annoying white girl bumps into him and messes her Starbucks coffee all over his tailored running tracksuit. She then clings onto him after finding out that he is so brash and rude, and she thinks it's so interesting. She begins following him wherever he goes and studies him like a lab rat. Bulelo, who found her annoying in the beginning, starts falling in love with her, which is the very thing that he's always despised, a privileged girl who believes in crystal healing and aligning her chakras. And it turns into a romance story. It sounds like a horrible idea, but if you had to cast the movie, who would we have as Bulelo, presuming you couldn't do it, and who would we have as this annoying white girl with the crystal healing and the chakras? And what do you think of that, by the way? Because this is Carrie's,
I think it's hilarious.
Carrie's taking it straight to Hollywood, and she's going to make it with or without your say-so. So get ready.
It's mad interesting. Very interesting.
I think it's hilarious. It's brilliant. People are brilliant. Who would I want to play me, or who would play me? It's tough to.
Who would you? Who would you want?
Oh, who would I want to play me? Jamie Foxx, no doubt. I want Jamie Foxx to play.
Good one.
Well, if you're not going, full woke,
it's a bit old.
Sorry,
he's a bit old.
Oh, whatever. Tobey Maguire played Spider-Man when he was like 66. Oh, Gareth, we can do anything with Hollywood.
Tobey Maguire just catching strays.
Well, he was like 30 playing a 17-year-old. Anyway, if you really want to know who should play me, it's Daniel Day-Lewis. But if we're going to go, obviously, because Daniel Day-Lewis is the proper guy. But Jamie Foxx has to play. That's who I've always wanted to be. Yeah.
Someone says, Jamie Foxx. Rich says, Lawrence Fishburne.
Now we talk it.
Oh, that's excellent.
And he plays a really good grumpy guy. A really good grumpy guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially with that one eye that doesn't work so well, you know.
And then the white girl would be Kirsten Dunst. She's like the classic.
Yes.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst is the classic, yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's not that.
That chick from, is it Vampire Diaries? The one we all hated. Who tried to play Princess Diana.
Kristen Stewart. Oh.
Nah. She's an actress. Kirsten Dunst.
Annoying.
Can I tell you something?
What?
That
lame.
That Kristen Stewart. Someone said to me, you have to watch this movie that she was in where she plays Princess Diana. It's called Spencer. Okay, it's time for a movie review. Hi, I'm Barry Rogner, and it's time for me to give you a movie review that you didn't expect to hear this morning. Okay, everybody, I'm going to give it a scintillating zero. Listen, this is the most stupid movie I've ever seen in my life. First of all, enough of this romanticization of Princess Diana by Hollywood. It's enough already. She was a human being. They first of all, it's a caricature of this poor woman who's been dead now, 20-something years? They are so obsessed with royalty in America, first of all. Second of all, if you had to be reduced to the kind of stupid, vapid, uninteresting, ridiculous character that they try to portray her as, and believe me, I'm no, like, you know, herald for Princess Diana. I'm not running around doing her PR. But this movie is just unbelievably stupid. It's like what a child who's read a couple of tabloids and a couple of gossip columns would think Princess Diana's life was. It's like constantly it's about her just desperate to escape, and the whole world is so mean to her. And frankly, they portray her as being a raving lunatic who like talks to dead people and throws up in the toilet every 5 minutes and like tries to put a jacket on a scarecrow. I mean, it's just the most stupid movie. Like, I guarantee you, no matter how hard Princess Diana's life was, especially after the divorce and, you know, Charles being mean to her and all of that stuff, there's no way that she was this one-dimensional. And I really have to question the kind of people who thought that this thing, because someone said to me, oh, it's so clever. Of course, this person will never recommend a movie to me again. But if you've seen this movie, it is stupid as hell. And I'm sorry you had to waste an hour and whatever of your life. Like, I barely made it through. And I will never, ever, ever watch a movie that this person who recommended this tells me to watch again. And if you haven't watched it, save yourself some time. Life is short, and you're going to get to the end of your life, and you're going to go, how could I have saved more time and spent it with people I care about and done things that I was interested in? This is such a piece of shit movie. It is unbelievably stupid. And I mean, even the final scene, which is so goddamn dumb, like all I was doing is cringing when I was thinking, like, they're probably family and friends of hers who would be watching this thinking, ay, 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 people who made this, just they have no personalities and no character or no real life, and they completely live in cyberspace. Or they had no idea of her, and they never picked up and read anything, including stuff that wasn't very complimentary about her. It was just total fantasy from beginning to end, and bullshit at that. Not even good fantasy. Anyway, the worst movie. And if I ever – I want to see this Don't Look Up that everyone's talking about.
You should check that out.
I know. I haven't got Netflix, though, and it's going to be a pain in the ass to try and organize it. But I'll see. Maybe I'll watch it at someone else's house. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Just like get someone's password.
Yeah.
No, wait. Why is Netflix asleep? It'll take you 2 minutes, literally, to get Netflix. 2 minutes. Just have your credit card with you.
Well, no,
but then he's got it.
Dude, I don't...
Now it's a thing that he has.
I hear you. And
I feel you.
Dude, I don't watch TV here, and I hardly watched any movies. The only things I watched over the holidays were that movie. I watched there was some other movie I watched. I'm trying to think what it was. I'll remember just now. Also, nothing really important or impressive. And then I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, and that was it. That was all the watching of television that I did during the whole holidays. And you remember we started the show on the last day with like, oh, give me some recommendations because I'm going to have time and I want to be lying in front of the TV watching the – No. Didn't happen.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm trying to think what the other movie was that I watched, because I watched them both on the same night. And I needed something to like lift me up after that stupid Princess Diana movie. And it kind of did. I think it was an old movie. Oh, you know what it was? It was Kingsman, but the first one where those people's heads explode and Samuel L. Jackson's in it. That was.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That's the old one.
That with Colin Firth?
Yeah. It was a good movie. That was fun. Because I saw that the new one is coming out, and I hated the second one because it was just all like desperately trying to, you know, feed into Hollywood's normal self-obsession. But I saw the third one's coming out, so I was like, well, let me watch the first one and maybe I could be persuaded to see this next one. Anyway, if you can, please avoid at all costs these dumb movies.
Damn, that bad.
Oh, shit. Sure. Oh, please. You know, Lebang, even if I hated you, I wouldn't make you watch this movie.
Damn.
Mm.
It's got nothing on Eternals, so I went and watched Eternals on the holidays. Let me tell you.
Aren't we over these superhero movies? I'm so sick of people with superpowers. Like, we used to talk about this in the show all the time, and like, oh, it must be great. Imagine if you had a superpower. And I used to like superhero movies.
Like the original series with superpowers way back when.
Yeah, Heroes was good. And then there was that one. There was that one they made. What was the one with the? Was it Heroes where they had that bad Superman? Or was that something else? Anyway, they had this guy who was he was like a real asshole, and he had superpowers, and that was cool because at least it was someone who had normal human failings. but they also had superpowers. That was interesting. But everything else, I'm just, you know, and then this one has powers that are greater than that one. And then there's always one who's got bigger powers than them. And they always come out at the end and save the day. It's just such a hamster wheel of bullshit. And why did you hate Eternals? Because I haven't seen it yet. And if you give me a good reason, I'll avoid it like the plague.
It is so bad. It is so bad. It's 2.5 hours, and it's meant to be linked to the Marvel Universe. So I'm trying to catch up.
I think I did see this.
No, it's at the big screen.
No,
you'd know, Gareth. No. You'd know.
We'd know.
Dude, I'm pretty sure.
It would be the equivalent. No, Gareth, trust me. You would know because if you dated a heroin addict, you wouldn't say, I think I dated a heroin addict. I can't remember. That's how bad this is. It is so bad, Eternals, right? First of all, it's meant to be linked to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And all they've done, right, all they've done is created like another movie series by opening up new characters with the most ridiculous powers now you've ever seen. Like, they are now fully ridiculous. It's 2.5 hours. And then Salma Hayek is in a speaking role. She's the least articulate person I've ever heard speak anywhere. So I don't know what they're doing, giving her a heavy speaking role.
Yeah, she was fantastic when you see her on the screen.
That's it. But that's it. We all have our role to play. We all have our role to play.
Hers not a speaking role.
It's unbearable. Exactly.
Give me a favor. Like, what
I didn't even. I didn't even bother with Eternals, and I'm like a major like Marvel fan, DC-ish fan. Like, I love that whole concept. The universe drives me insane. But the one movie I was like, I'm sorry, you cannot have my money, was the Eternals. I didn't even try. I didn't even bother. I could just smell the fish from a mile away.
I do think we spoke about it before the break because we were talking about how they've now got someone who's gay and someone who's Asian and someone who's, I don't know, Maori, or they've tried to make it all representative, like it's voting for, you know, parliament. It's such bullshit. These woke people who've started the script writing departments or have taken over the script writing departments all over Hollywood, really, these people need to be fired. They are costing these franchises a huge amount of money.
Well, I'll tell you what was firecracker. So, I watched the third Spider-Man as well in the holidays, and I'm not into this stuff, but I got to stay relevant. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Willem Dafoe is a guy I've always loved. This guy, right? And for those who don't know, he plays the Green Goblin, right? In other films, that guy, he made the movie, and the movie isn't actually about Spider-Man. If you go and watch it, there's a whole other like Doctor Strange thing going on. There's actually two movies in one. But anyway, Willem Dafoe is just on another level.
He's brilliant.
And without him,
the movie
falls apart. Sensational. So worth it just for Dafoe, by the way.
Yeah, like okay, I wouldn't say the movie falls apart, but he definitely is the star of the show. I mean, remember that with the Spider-Man, there's so many different layers. They're pulling on nostalgia by bringing back the old Spider-Mans. They're pulling on, you know, the love stories by the second Spider-Man catching the new Mary Jane. It's so many, like, you go through a roller coaster of feelings because it's that good of a movie. But I promise you, Willem Dafoe just did something else. He was exceptional. I won't lie to you. And there was competition. There was Jamie Foxx. There was just like a really good array of actors, but he just stood out, and he definitely took it from me as well. I won't lie to you.
He's one of those guys who's got, let's see if I can find a picture of him just for those people who can't remember who we're talking about. But Willem Dafoe's got one of those faces.
What like, savage doesn't know who Willem Dafoe is?
No, well, there are people who don't. Like, I mean, you sometimes say an actor's name and I'm like, huh?
Come on.
He's got one of those faces where he looks like a villain in real life. Like he's got an evil look to him, you know. And there's
he
no way
angry all the time.
He can't play a good guy because you're just not going to believe that. He's got a face. He's got a face for a bad guy, I reckon.
But he can play a good guy. That even with this role of the Green Goblin, there's times when he switches back into just the Doctor, right?
Mm.
And he's just the soft. You can see almost like helpless guy who's really desperate for help, and he pulls it off so well. And then he just switches into Green Goblin, and he's a dick, and we love it. He's really good.
But I mean, he does look like a goblin. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I'm not being. This is not me being an asshole here, and I trust me, I can be. And we will talk also about how Keanu Reeves, who I've had a lot of respect for, he's done this new Matrix, which is also apparently terrible. I hear horrible things about it. And, you know, there are probably people listening to us now going, oh, you just sound like a bunch of old complaining, whining bitches, because this is the, you know, not the movie of your generation. Because, you know, there are people who make that argument that it's, we're just complaining because this is something for the people of the 2020s rather than the people of when we would have cared about superhero movies. I don't believe that for a second, because there's good and there's bad. Look, there he is. There's Willem Dafoe. You see, he looks like a goblin in real life.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Jesus. If you woke up, Lebang, and that guy smiled at you like that in the bed, you'd think, oh, Jesus, I'm going to be killed. Man. I'm going to be killed.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
But 20-year-old Willem Dafoe, I saw one picture of him when he was in his 20s. He was hot.
Really?
Yes, he was a hot young man. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is that you? Oh, so as he aged, you know, then everything else started falling into place. But when he was younger, he was fresh.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't thought of like what Willem Dafoe looked like as a young man, but there we go. So we got some fans for Willem Dafoe, and you liked the Spider-Man movie generally, or you didn't?
Loved it. For me, it's one of the best films that I can include it in 2021, because that's when I saw it. It's probably the best movie I saw the entire year. It was that good.
All right.
It was so well thought out. They really stuck to the origin stories. It was just, I loved it.
Cool.
But you know what you have to do? Because I'm not into any of these. I just, obviously, I'm trying to become, in fact, people are already saying I'm a cultural commentator of my time. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Whatever.
People are saying that? You sound like Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's what's out there.
A lot of people are saying I'm a cultural commentator. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say it, but they say it.
They are saying it. And if you don't believe it, you're fake news. Fake news. But here's the thing with these movies. The reason I enjoyed this last Spider-Man, like the acting's not good, right? They're not actors. Holland's not an actor. Zendaya or whatever her name is, isn't an actor. They're cultural pop icons. And so the thing about it is your mindset has to be right. What's the story?
No, just that you called it
Zebedeya. This is the fifth time you've made this mistake. I'm starting to believe you're doing it on purpose. It's Zendaya. If you can't say it, just say Daya. Daya. She refers to herself as Daya. So let me help you.
Okay.
Daya.
All right. Fair enough. Here's the thing. When you go into these movies, you've got to go in with the mindset is that the acting's not going to be good. Go there and think to yourself, suspend belief.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed the Spider-Man movie because I was just like, no, this is
just
not
for
made for me.
Right.
Like, this isn't, for me, I like movies like There Will Be Blood. You know what I mean? Where there's serious acting, there's all sorts going on.
I got you. You're also, you've got this superiority complex too, which we've talked about a couple of times on the show.
100%.
And I know Lebang's going to nod her head in agreement with me on this, but we do agree, so that we don't sound like bitching old people. There are some of these movies that they've turned out pretty well, but one of them that has not come out well is this Matrix movie. Like, I love Keanu Reeves, and I always loved the Matrix. You know, that first Matrix movie, because I never watched any of the others because people told me they were rubbish. I'm one of those people who actually needs the reviews because I never read them, but if I get a good recommendation from someone I trust, I take it seriously because I realize, like, otherwise I'm going to be trapped, especially if you actually go to the movies, which, you know, I'll occasionally do, not very often. But it saves you time, and you really feel like you've scored if someone says to you, ooh, don't bother with that. It's a piece of shit, you know, and then you know, you get out of there. So if you did see if you saw something over the holidays and you're listening to us now thinking these guys they've missed the point completely, there's something that they need to be paying attention to, then let us know in the comments. I see a lot of comments about how crap Matrix was. Look at this.
Matrix.
Onkopotse says it was horrible. Corona's Boring says Matrix regurgitation's a waste of time. Venetia says the new Matrix is crap. Couldn't finish it. It made me sleepy. Ruv1 says I started watching it, and within 5 minutes I lost interest and stopped watching. You see, this is what's happening.
And that's four people. That's enough. I believe all of you. I'm not going to watch it. That's enough for me.
I'm good with it.
That's enough of it. Are you aware of the dynamics at play with the new Matrix? I don't know if you know that the brothers who originally directed it are now both sisters. I don't know if you know that they've gone.
Yes. What are they called?
Yeah, so there's a whole.
What are they called?
That's why you're getting. I don't know what their new names are. But
the surname. What's the surname again?
Polish.
Yeah, Wolenski or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, something very Polish.
Yeah, that's right. And now
the Wolenski saw.
So they've both gone from being brothers and being men to being sisters now. They're girls, right?
Mm.
Jesus.
So, wow. Here we are. Okay. Maybe it's not for you. You know, you went
Wachowski,
for a male
Wachowski,
yeah. Something like. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe. So I got that wrong. I think Walensky's like it used to be a steakhouse. That's how into that I am. Yeah. So, okay. Hanging out with Jay says, watch your mouth.
Sounds Bulelo. Like a steakhouse? Where are you guys eating steak?
Watch your mouth, Mbulelo. Zendaya is a Golden Globe winner. Watch Utopia or Utopia? She's great in that. I've never heard
I think it's Euphoria. It's Euphoria.
Okay, well.
Mm. I'll watch it.
It's a great series about substance abuse. I know Drake is one of the executive producers or something. It's really good. Season 2 just came out yesterday, and if like you're into that vibe, you'll really like it. It's really good. I love season 1 of Euphoria. That's when I was like, this chick is dope. And then when she won a Golden Globe at the age of 24, I'm like, this chick is beyond dope. She is like really incredible. So we are going to refer to her by her full name. Zendaya.
Okay, all right.
Also, I just want to say, just quickly, the last thing on Spider-Man. The one thing I don't like about movies like Spider-Man is they give mediocre people like me hope. Like, there's no ways in real life Tom Holland gets that lady. By the way, Zendaya, she looks like an oil painting.
Yeah.
He's not getting her in real life. So let's stop that nonsense. Resist. Mediocre people like me.
They are dating in real life. They really love each other in real life.
No, they don't. He's Spider-Man. He's a short. He's Peter Dinklage with red hair, right? He's Peter Dinklage, and she looks like somebody drew her. She's so beautiful. She looks like somebody drew her and made an android Tom Holland.
Pretty. I'll give you that. Yeah, she's very pretty. But you're telling me they are dating in real life? Because I see all these memes.
They really are. And also, like, when you watch the interviews that they do together, you can see that these people really dig each other. Like, their mannerisms are the same. They literally finish each other's sentences. Like, it's insane. It's a nice, cute love. And I hope that it, like, works out, you know, as far as working out as a couple in Hollywood goes. But I do believe there are things about Tom Holland that Zendaya likes outside of the fact that he's Spider-Man. Like, he just seems like a cool guy. You should watch his Hot Ones interview. Like, he's just a chilled guy. He's funny. He's done gymnastics all of his life. He's got an extremely tight ass. I mean, you know, he ticks the boxes, bro. She's cool. She's happy. Like, let them be.
He was also Billy, what's the guy who did the ballet? But there was the movie. He was the stage version, which was quite interesting. So he's actually a proper
Billy Elliot.
Mm. Billy Elliot. So he was the stage Billy Elliot.
Jesus.
For those who, which is quite interesting.
Now
he's a proper performer.
Now we're sounding just like Barry Ronger. Okay. So.
Oh, well.
So. Yeah. I like, just to go back to Keanu Reeves for a second. I reckon that after he did John Wick, The Matrix just feels stupid. Like, you can't go back here. Like, I love those John Wick movies. Those are they're so violent and he's such a hardcore dude. And, you know, he uses guns beautifully and he like slides around and he doesn't need any special like Matrix abilities. He's just a hardcore human being, you know, with no superpowers. I like that a lot. Obviously, he's an incredible, you know, he's athletic and he's fit and he's quick and he's an assassin and all of that stuff. So I get that. And John Wick is just as much fantasy as any of the other stuff. But at least he's just a human. He doesn't have supernatural powers. He hasn't a red pill or blue pill or whatever other kinds of pills he has to take, like in The Matrix. I like that. So this is why I think if you've done John Wick, you don't need to go back to being, what's his name, The Matrix. Anyway,
Neo. It was done. Like, when even the third Matrix was already like tricky, they were showing that it's over for this, and we were quite happy to say, okay, cool, bye Matrix, it's been real. There was just no need to resurrect that thing. It was dead.
Right.
But hey, this is Hollywood at the end of the day.
This is why you come to us. If only Hollywood had gone to the trouble of coming to Bulelo and Lebang and Gareth, they would have had the whole thing. We would have been in support of the Spider-Man movie. We would have been in support of some of the stuff. But there's a lot that we would criticize.
No, it's honest feedback.
Gareth, you should watch a show called The Boys. If we're talking
That's what I'm talking about. That was the one with the superheroes that were bad people. They were.
The Boys is like, that's right up your alley. That's like superheroes, but at least now it's sort of being like, you know.
I love that.
Realistic-ish in terms of like people are shitty. Yeah, that was good. Mm-hmm. That was good.
I like that.
And my last feedback, because Hollywood's probably listening, is that please stop putting
because you are a cultural commentator. Of course, they're going to be listening. Yes, go ahead.
Well, you said it. Yeah. You said it. I don't. You know, it is what it is at this stage. But stop putting love stories in action films. I had to just to reset myself. I don't know if you've ever seen a Swayze classic. I love Patrick Swayze. Right. But Roadhouse. You ever seen Roadhouse?
Yeah, I've seen Roadhouse.
Where it's just
years ago.
A rogue on his own, in jeans that are way too tight, roundhouse kicking everyone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? No love story. I don't need a... It's simple. Action films must be this, like Bodyguard from Beijing. You killed my father. I gather weapons.
Revenge.
And then...
Yeah, but you know why they do that, right? Because they think very... Maybe they're right. Maybe they've done... The focus groups and all that stuff that we don't know about, where they've sat down with a huge group of people and done research. Like they probably say girls want the romantic story, guys want the action. Of course, there are going to be some girls who want the action. There are going to be some guys who like the romance. But by and large, that's why they want to draw on. Why would you go for just one half of the human population when you can go for both halves? So they try to put a little bit of everything in.
Yeah, I don't know if it's only just like a population thing, but I think it's also just, you know, being able to touch on as many of those like pinpoints as possible. I mean, if you look at it, we need love, guys. We need love. And for the most part, movies thrive on having a love story. Even if it's the most irrelevant aspect, it can be this hardcore guy who's so pissed off because they stole $1 million from him and he's going after all the guys. Oh, but you must know that he's also in love with his neighbor who just happens to be they just kind of sneak it in there for whatever the reason. Mm. And they do it so much and so well that you just kind of realize that we just need the love stories. It is what it is. We can't fight it. Very few movies are just going to give us the action, like from A to Z, boom. And that's just that.
Someone has just reminded me in the comments about something I really did want to talk about. And I don't want to go on too much more of a rant because we've already complained about some stuff this morning. But my God, I have to tell you, if there's any movie that I will be avoiding, like The Plague, because I just know it's going to be a heap of steaming shit, is Sex and the City. I even put out this Instagram thing the other day because I drove past a big billboard of... I don't even know what the new one is called, but I see there's Sarah Jessica Parker, the horsewoman, and I see there's those other two, the one who ran for like mayor of New York, who's a big old lesbian, and then the other one who's that little mousy one with the black hair. Now, I never watched Sex and the City, but there always used to be four girls, right? There were four. Now there are only three, and there's something about that which girls don't shoot the messenger, but that tells you a lot about women's relationships with other women. They can be besties and talk about how I just love you and my best friend, like these four were in the original Sex and the City. And then you blink your eyes and they come back at you and there's only three. And you say, where's the fourth one? And they're like, I don't want to talk about it. We don't get along anymore.
They just wanted three. No. I mean, that's an option. They couldn't book the other one because she's busy shooting something else. I don't think it's that deep, Gareth.
You know, Libang, in your heart of hearts, you know what happened here. Is those three decided, we don't like her anymore because she's a bitch. It's like high school girls. I'm telling you now, they canned her because they don't like her anymore. They had some kind of a fallout or they thought she was getting too much attention. How often?
These are grand assumptions. These are grand assumptions. The real question is, how is Sex and the City still around? That's the real question. Isn't the time up for Sex and the City?
Yeah.
It should have long ended. Like, it's over, guys.
You got these old, it's over. These three tired old trouts mincing around on camera. How many years later? It's like nobody wants to see them. Just, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker really should consider herself very fortunate to look like that and have had any career in Hollywood at all. She should be clapping her hands and wringing them every morning going, I can't believe I got away with being on screen when I look like this. I should be, She should be counting her pennies and thinking how lucky she is and just shutting up and hiding out somewhere in New York with her husband, Matthew Broderick, and being very thrilled with her life. Because there's no way someone who looks like her should ever have had a career on camera, ever.
They must go to Dancing with the Stars. Isn't that where they put all the has-beens, you know, just to try to keep them fresh?
What a good idea.
Just go to Dancing with the Stars.
And have some...
Hollywood needs us, guys.
Have some poor guy have to dance with all three of those trots from Sex and the City, and let's just get it done, please. Enough of that. If you go to that movie, I'm probably not going to be able to be friends with you. I just got to say that. All right. Anyway, so that's that. Let's get to some headlines this morning. There are actually stories going on that we should care about. We haven't spoken about that Parliament fire at all. Do you guys have any kind of opinion on that just off the bat? Do you think it was sabotage and arson? Do you believe it was that one guy who they arrested?
I mean, it was like the one takeaway for me was, how is Parliament not insured? Like, that's the first thing. And how are we possibly going to fit this bill? Like, and where do we go in? In terms of who did it, it was obviously not that hobo guy. Then there were rumors that he was a CIA agent or something.
Please.
I mean, that poor man had absolutely no idea what he was even doing there. He was like, where am I and how did I get here?
Yeah.
It was just a whole, it was a show that they had put on for us. I dare I say that there was something deeper probably happening that they were just distracting us from.
Right.
But I mean, it was just bollocks. It was nonsense. Not a way to start the year.
I only found out that there'd been a fire in Parliament like 2 or 3 days after everyone else because I didn't have signal where I was. And then I got back and I was like, Jesus, really? First of all, this is our Parliament building. No one checked the sprinkler system. It isn't insured. Obviously, Parliament is run by like the stupidest people in the whole country. It's the same people who are supposed to be running the government. They're all trying to pass the buck to each other. I don't believe for a second it's that hobo, that dude they picked up on the. There's no way. He looked so confused. First of all, in Cape Town, if you're a homeless person, there's a 99% chance you're on tick, which means you can't even light a match without help. So I don't believe for a second that this guy did anything. And that I think it's just gross incompetence. And there may have been some sabotage involved, but we'll never find out because our police can't investigate this stuff. Meantime, this priceless old building, which whether you like Parliament or not, whether you like the government or not, this is part of our shared heritage in South Africa. That building belongs to us, right? When you talk about the US on January the 6th, where those people invaded the Capitol and like stole a lectern and, you know, took a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk. The reason that people are upset about that, if they are upset about it, is because that building does belong to the people. It doesn't belong to the people who work in it. It belongs to us. And we have to, there must be some part of you as a South African that's slightly upset by the fact that now all of that has to be restored. They're probably going to make it hideous and modern, which, you know, they do with buildings these days. They do everything. It's just gross and featureless and ugly and utilitarian. And this was a pretty building with a lot of history in it, you know? It's the building where our first democratic parliament sat down and figured out the way forward. It's the building where our first democratic president, Nelson Mandela, spoke. And obviously before that, there's a lot there. The old chamber is where Tsafenda stabbed Verwoerd. There's stuff we don't want to lose. And I've been in that building. It's beautiful. And I'm very sad to see that it's gone up in smoke. But here's the funny part, if you have a sense of humor about this. Plans are moving ahead to host this year's State of the Nation at the Cape Town City Hall. Ugh. And at least 1,000 parliamentary employees will not be reporting for duty until the gutted building precinct is declared safe to work in. Now, that tells you the whole story. 1,000 people who work in Parliament are not going to report for duty. Let's see, because I remember when I worked at the SABC, it was funny when we didn't have a board, the place just ran just as well. You know, we didn't even notice that we didn't have a board. I wonder if South Africa will even notice that we don't have MPs sitting there and falling asleep and talking to each other and, you know, trying to get attention on television or whatever it is they do. I wonder if we'll even miss them while they're rebuilding Parliament. Let's just watch that space. All right. So that's one of the headlines this morning. Let's see what else is going on here. I don't want to talk about SAA's board of investigating the airline's shameful past to the Zondo Commission. We know Dudumieni. We know how badly that SAA was run into the ground. I'm not interested in this. Do we need to cover any more of the detail of that, or do we already know the basic stuff? I think we know.
Yeah, we know.
Speaking of Parliament, though, taxpayers could be paying over 220 million rand for the repairs. This is what you were saying, Nabung. I mean, now it comes from us, right?
That's mental. That is mental. What is happening there? Is anyone going to get fired? Because Adrian Gore fires people when Discovery lose money. And by the way, you are the CEO of our company called South Africa. Can we have a board inquiry now? Because there's a delinquency here, isn't there? That's what happens now.
Here's an interesting comment. Rivka Fried, what kind of a name is that? Says, Gareth, you are so mean. How can you speak about an actress like that? That is your opinion, and no one wants to hear what you think of her. I think you've missed the point of this show, Rivka. Let's give Rivka.
This is called the Gareth Cliff Show.
Yeah, let's give Rivka a moment to tune out and find something else more to their liking. Bye bye.
That's weird.
Cheers, shithead. Thank you. There we go. Anyway, Dudu Zuma apparently also put her stinky nose in the story. I can't stand her, says Reisebeck. So look, she did. She said something like, oh, yay, there goes the Parliament building. It's burnt down. Some people just really do want to watch the world burn down, right? And she seems like she's one of those people because she's had this incredible life as the president's daughter, and she got way more attention than she deserved for her level of competence or interesting character or personality. And now she's bitter.
She's toxic.
Yeah, she's bitter and twisted about her dad having, fallen from grace as dramatically as he has. She's obviously supporting a losing team. And so she actually takes pleasure in destruction. I don't think you need to take her too seriously. Like Lebang says, she's very twisted and toxic. Anyway. All right. To go back to one last story, do we know about Doja Cat? You know who that is, right?
That's Chester.
Yes, she's Chester's daughter. Chester from Izo.
That's
her,
right.
Her dad is South African.
Right. So Doja Cat, a man was arrested at a Doja Cat concert in the U.S. after attempting to jump the queue by making a bomb threat. Fans had been lining up for more than 12 hours for a free show in Indianapolis on Saturday when at 5 p.m. the man told people around him he had an explosive device in his backpack. What an idiot. You're lining up. Everyone else is lining up. Do you think the concert's just going to go ahead and you're going to skip the queue?
Desperate times, dude. A free concert? And you've been in the line for hours. You'll say anything to get in.
But how do you...
Even if it's not the smartest thing.
How do you think that's going to go? Because you really think they're going to say, oh, well, okay, well, you go to the front of the queue then with your explosive device, sir. I mean, people don't think anything through. Consequence.
That's crazy.
What a moron.
That's crazy.
It's a moron, right?
Yeah. Beyond. Yeah. Like, what are you, in fact, what are you doing? Like, now your mom has to see you in the newspaper as the bomb threat guy.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
There's no way that person was sober-minded when he said that.
But not only are you not going to get to stay at the Doja Cat concert and you're going to have it canceled for everyone else, you're also not going to be allowed to any concert ever again, and you're probably going to spend the next 20 years in jail for making up a fake bomb threat. People have no idea. Like, what kind of impulsive, ridiculous decision is that? And how are the consequences of this going to work out for you, dude? Idiot. So, I'm sorry to call that person an idiot in case Rivka doesn't agree. Because, Rivka's...
Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah, Rivka's not sure that she wants to hear my opinion, which is bizarre if you come to this show. Anyway, Dude69 says, I'm wondering who will get the tender to fix the Parliament building. That's going to be another episode in the thieving of the ANC. Good point. And then Patrick says, I thought that they were relocating Parliament to Pretoria and that would save money. Actually, when you think about it, no, most MPs don't live in Cape Town or Pretoria anyway. They must travel, irrelevant to where, Parliament is. Yeah. But, there was a funny thing that happened, right? Because Parliament was set on fire for whatever reason by whoever. We won't know and we don't know. Maybe one day we'll find out. Who knows? Then I think it was 2-3 days later, someone attacked the Constitutional Court at Conhill. That's two branches of our government. You know, you would think they would be on standby and there would be someone in police intelligence somewhere thinking, we better watch the union buildings, because if they've gone after the legislature and they've attacked the Con Court, whoever they are, if it's a calculated plot, the next thing they're going to do is hit the union buildings. But I don't think they've even thought about that. Do you?
No, the comrades don't work like that. No, Gareth, because of now you are asking us to come on time to work and deliver.
To work.
No, that's not how we do. That's not our modus operandi. That's not what we do. No.
To deliver.
Yes. Incredible.
Oh, man. All right. Very good. Those are the headlines you need to know about this morning. We've got someone, you're going to love this, Bulelo, and Dori, the producer, told me that she got this guest especially for you. We've got a tarot card reader coming up.
Oh, magical.
You're going to love that.
Yep.
Oh, magical.
Yes, please.
Awesome.
You know, there are people who like to start the year with this kind of thing. They go and visit their like local psychic, or they sit down with a clairvoyant, or, you know, whoever it is, and then they get some kind of projection of what the year is going to hold. Their numerologist, whoever it might be. So just for a morning, I'm going to beg you to suspend disbelief and let's go along with the tarot thing. Let's see. And then what we will do, Bulelo, because I know that the cynic in you is going to be rebelling against that every step of the way. What we'll do is halfway through the year, we'll see how those predictions are working out. And if more than half of them are true or seem to be coming true, we'll get her back, right? And then next year, at the same time, we'll look back on all the predictions. So we'll write them down. And if she gets more than half of them right, I'll be really impressed. Then I'll say, you know what? There might be something to it.
But let it be like a yearly feature on the show.
Yeah, right. So it's not. We're not going to forget. We're not going to memory hold this stuff and go, oh, that was fun when we had that person on with the tarot cards. No, we're going to actually remember this stuff and we're going to write down what she says. So she'll be joining us later. And let's see, because then all those people who say, oh, you guys are so cynical, why don't you give these people with supernatural abilities, give them a chance? Let's at least, okay, we'll be open-minded about it, but we are going to compare the results. We want to see if there are results.
I'm quite open to it, guys. Like, generally, I think it's a nice thing to pop into, like, when you're exposed to it, it's interesting. I remember going to Grahamstown Arts Festival in high school, and we went to like a hypnotist show. Yes. One of my friends actually like put her hand up as a volunteer, and I remember this hypnotist giving her an onion and other people who had volunteered, and, you know, on the count of three, this is going to be the most delicious apple you've ever eaten. Homegirl went in, and then he was just like, really? 3-1. Oh man, it was chaos. Since that day, I was like, I need to have an open mind, because there's people out there that have the skills to, you know, to get this stuff done. So let's
Hold on. Hypnosis hypnosis is a psychotherapy technique that's been practiced in science. The difference between that and Reiki.
Okay.
Is that the other has no international standard. There's a big difference between the two. The one has a measurable control standard.
Mbulelo, are we going to give this tarot card reader
a
chance?
Yes, sorry.
I know what Mbulelo's going to say. He's going to say open mind, but not so open that everything falls out.
Yes, the great Richard Dawkins said that to us. Yeah. So,
I mean,
but stay open. You're right. It's 2022. It's a different time.
Freedom Fighter says, why aren't all the psychics filthy rich?
Because it's not like it's filthy rich.
Whoa.
Is being filthy rich that great?
Oh, here's an interesting.
You're open-minded. I don't want you guys being closed-minded.
So I hate the State of the Nation address because I always think it's ridiculous, and you get these MPs who are parading around and they're trying to think they think it's like the Oscars of politics, right? And that's annoying enough. But Sanele makes a very good point here. He wouldn't call the Sona a fashion show. It's more like a curtain show. Most of the MPs are so fat, the outfits end up looking like they're wrapped around curtains.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. So it's horrible.
It's true. It's just true. It's
like,
true.
Can they, oh, but it's nonsense.
And to that point, let's not let a pandemic go to waste, right? Is now we know in our deepest moments of crisis, one person can address us from the house where he has a landline for whatever reason and he's the president. It's incredible. Get a portable phone. But whatever. Is we don't need that whole show now. For Sona, he can just do it from his house. We don't have to spend millions of the taxpayers' money.
Exactly.
He must just do it from his house.
Yeah, like he did. Like he did all those corona warnings, where he probably got a larger.
That's
audience.
What I'm saying.
He got a larger audience for those than anything else. Anyway, by the way, we haven't even mentioned that the curfew is over. Have you been out after 12 as a result of the curfew being over, or are you secretly annoyed, like I am, that now you can't use it as an excuse?
Yeah, no, definitely the latter. Like, if anything, it's annoyed me because now, like, my friends and the people I care about have sort of gone crazy and lost their minds. Whereas before, it was like, oh, great, this is fantastic. When the party's over, we go home. Now it's like, where are we going to next? And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
So it's lame. It's just lame in that sense. Like, people are going crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I don't care. I really don't care at all.
Well, I can only imagine in my wildest dreams that Bolelo would be out after 12. I reckon he's in bed because he's got some run the next morning or something else.
Nah, here's the thing. I'm old now. After 10 o'clock, I must be getting the bill. I don't know what people above the age of 35 are doing still trying to be out. I'm old, except play your role.
After parties.
Nah, well, I'm old. I've had my time.
Corona's boring says I drove home at 3 a.m. on New Year. Oh, can I admit something? It's something embarrassing. Like, all what? My life, I've been awake at midnight on New Year's Eve, and I've been part of the crowd that celebrated, even though most of those nights I wasn't even drinking because I was, you know, DJing, or there were lots of drunk people around me, so I wanted to keep my wits about me. But I was always awake. This year, I decided to go to bed at like 11:30. So I realized now I'm old. There's no way out of this.
Yeah.
The moment you give up on New Year's Eve and you can't even stay up until 12:30, I mean, it would have been half an hour. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed. But I just looked around me and I mean, I was with friends, but I looked at all of them and they were already all pretty drunk, and it was raining quite heavily, as I recall, on New Year's Eve. And I just looked at the situation and I was like, I could get into bed now and I could have a fat sleep, and I could wake up tomorrow and I won't feel so bad. And I think I'm going to do that. And I just snuck out and I went to, I didn't feel like any FOMO at all that I'd missed the little countdown.
Good for you.
No,
good
I know.
For you.
I'm at peace with it, but I'm slightly embarrassed to admit it. That's why I only brought it up now.
Ugh, it's not that deep, man. I think after the Rona, you know, the choices that we make really should just be the choices that we make. There's no one way of doing things. And if you sleep before midnight, hey, man, the point is you made it. You woke up in a new year. Hoorah.
Yeah.
Remember when people went all like uber conscious for like 15 minutes because they wanted to seem cool on social media? Like, oh, this COVID's just changed everything. I think we all need to reflect. We've been out of lockdown for like 1 week. People are, yo, Azisha, yeah.
Same day. You're still saying 1 week. The minute Cyril announced it,
Like, it made me realize how much people love just saying things. You know, they will never live a word of what they're saying, because yes, it was getting painful to hear people. I just think COVID has made me realize we all need to come together.
What's really important.
And money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my family is what's important, boo. And guys were out as soon as that lockdown changed. So
quick.
Incredible.
Quick.
People, human beings are amazing, is what I've learned from COVID. Human beings
but
are
you,
incredible.
You do still get those people who put those very profound things on social media for like a week or two after New Year, and then suddenly they just go quiet and they go back to their like self-absorbed,
very normal self,
narcissistic ass pictures. But for those first 2 weeks of the year, they're a philosopher, you know. Oh, it's a new start. It's a brand new day. Let's have everything in our lives just perfectly arranged, and this is going to be my year, that kind of thing. And then a week later, they're putting on pictures of their half-naked ass.
Hey man, we love a half naked ass. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Don't stop doing that.
I'm not complaining. I don't mind a little bit of that.
What about the half naked ass chicks that put a Bible verse? Is that something you've ever addressed? I find that phenomenal.
Yeah, for both sides.
Well, what they're doing, Bulelo, is they're showing that they're not just a piece of ass, but that they also have a deep religious and spiritual profundity that they want to share with you. Okay. If you come at it from the other side, they're showing you that they're not some prudish Bible study person. They also have an ass. So either way, it's definitely part of what that is to show a multifaceted personality, not just a two-dimensionality, you know?
Can't be mad. Yeah. You have to mess with the formula. Yeah.
Right.
No, fair enough. I mean, I apologize for painting them in the romantic ideal rather than the idiosyncratic nature that is a thong song Christian. I apologize
thong,
for that.
Thong.
Thong song Christian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cisco would love that.
A lot to think about here. Ninja bomb is what Nico says when it comes to like getting off of New Year's Eve's train early. But you know, I do love a ninja bomb, huh? And I never hold it against anybody if they pull a ninja bomb on me. If I'm having a good time and someone else in the crowd or in the group or in the, you know, in the immediate vicinity is not having that time and they just decide they're going to go home or they're going to go to bed, I don't ever get upset with them. I may call them Cinderella from time to time. We've got this one friend and he's just, anytime after 9, there's a very high percentage chance that he will be going to bed. And after 9, the guy's like, well, this may be the last 10 minutes that I'm spending with you. You just accept it, and we've started to call him Cinderella. But I don't hold it against him. It's just something we tease him about. I think it's quite a good shows that you have some self-knowledge.
Self-control, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, well,
now, I definitely advocate for ninja bombing, dude, because people that don't ninja bomb are usually, you know, telling themselves, it's okay that I'm still out here. Yes, the wife and kids are at home and they need me, but it's okay that I'm still out here. Yes, I've got an exam tomorrow, but it's okay that I'm still out here. Yes, I'm getting extremely drunk and I need to drive myself home, but it's okay that I'm still out here. As long as, like, the group is moving to more and more chaos and turn up and, like, absolutely no, like, boundaries, then it's fine, because as long as you're not doing it by yourself, right? Like, let's move in a group and self-destruct. But it's nice to have a person that goes, hey, guys, you know what? The night is pretty much done. Thank you. It's been great.
Well,
I'll see you at the next party. Gotta love that.
Well, it's like quitting while you're ahead. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
If you are one of those brilliant people who can see how things are going and you realize you're at the top of that curve right now, like now is the best this party's going to be, and you jump off just before it gets shit, that is incredible. That is a superpower. Who needs to shoot lasers out of your eyes? If you can do that, you will always be a happy person. Like I left the party before I became one of the dregs.
Yeah. Don't try and be happier than happy. That person's superpower. Because most people, you know, someone else's wife is always just better looking than your wife. Your kids are not as – don't try and be happier than happy. If you're happy, stay.
Yeah.
So I love your friend. I love your mate who you call Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. He's maybe smarter than the rest of us. Who knows? Okay. Very good. That's all your time for in this hour. We've got lots coming up in the next bit, including tarot card reading. And we've got an email from Riette, who's got some things to say about the show and about Hanan Bushkin and – some of the things that she once addressed. So we're going to talk in a little while to Zoe Rose, who's the tarot card reader, and we'll find out all about what the future holds for us, and then also for the country and for you, and perhaps we can help you out this morning with a little bit of that. That's coming up. CliffCentral.com. It is Tuesday morning. CliffCentral.com.